The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Take that, take that, take that.
Hello, Pennsylvania. How y'all doing? Yes, this is Kathy Barnett sitting in for my girl, my double good girlfriend, Dawn Stensland, on the number one talk radio station in Philadelphia, covering most of the mid-Atlantic states. We're talking about Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland. How y'all doing this morning? Give me a call. I want to hear from you. I have some amazing guests who are coming on today. That number is 855-839-1210. It's coming up to the bridge. Here's my favorite part. What do I say?
That's why I really feel like you can't stop me.
That's all you got? Come on with it. This is your girl, Kathy Barnett, again, filling in for the one and only Dawn Stensland. And right now, I have my guest, my first guest. We're going to be talking about this first hour all about tariffs, because we have a lot of talking heads out here. And it sounds like there's an element who just really want Donald Trump to fail. Y'all heard Sean Farish talk about this. Like, if Donald Trump says up, they say down. If he says left, they say right. He says water is good. They're like, no, we're going to go on a break from drinking anything. Dehydration is where it's at. So I wanted to bring in some of my good friends across the state of Pennsylvania, as well as across the nation, who can come in and kind of help us understand, right? So these are not talking heads. These are subject matter experts. Right up front is my good friend, Guy Birkabell. Hey, Guy, how are you?
Good. Always great to hear your voice, Kathy.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on. I truly appreciate you. Guys, Guy is in Somerset County on the other end of the state of Pennsylvania. I'm on one end of the state. He's on the opposite end of the state. But Guy, you were such a friend of mine during that highly competitive senatorial race back in 2022.
Yes.
And so I just appreciated you from the start. But I actually remembered you. We had not met, but I remembered you because you were one of those lone voices that were against the vaccine mandates that at the time the Biden administration was trying to force everyone to do. So Guy Birkabell, he is the president of Guy Chemicals. So this is not a talking head. This will be a subject matter expert. So put on your listening ears when he speaks. He's from Somerset, Pennsylvania. I think you have about a little bit over 160 plus employees. You make silicone sealants and adhesives. And like,
yeah, correct. We actually do a variety of sealants and adhesives, different chemistries, but silicone, you're correct, is our largest chemistry.
Yeah, and you texted me last night saying that you have confirmed that the tariffs coming out of China, that the current tariff on silicon polymers, which is a key ingredient in what it is that you produce, and fluids from China are 48%. So you are not unscathed by what Donald Trump is doing and attempting to do with these tariffs. But as a subject matter expert, the founder and president of a company that is that has not escaped the tariff drama, tell us, what are your thoughts about this?
But Biden was using tariffs, not to the extent that Trump is using them. Let's get back to the Obama years. And whenever Obama was president, the product coming in, our silicone fluids and polymers coming in from China had a 3% duty.
Okay.
Whenever Trump came in, Trump started, the Make in America policy, wanting products made here, and he brought the tariffs up to 10%, then 15%, then 20%. And whenever Biden came into office, he actually continued those and increased them to 28%.
We
had the standard 3% tariff, and then he put on a 25% bonus tariff on these chemical products coming from China.
Okay.
And what we're seeing, you know, and once again, I'm sure, you know, you're familiar with this somewhat, Kathy. You know, Trump sets his policies and he starts running and the rest of us are trying to catch up, trying to figure out, you know, what he's doing. You know, we're basically about one step behind. But the but what Trump has done is put an additional 20% tariff on to the goods that we import, and brought it up to a total of 48% as of today. Who knows what that's going to be tomorrow, but as of today, it's 48%.
Okay. And so now this is going to have an impact. I'm assuming if it's a 48% tariff that you're dealing with right now. So, you know, in round numbers, if you have a shipment of about $100,000 worth of a shipment coming out of China, then that's an extra $48,000 that you are having to spend just to move that product from China to your plant so that you can do. Obviously, that has an impact on your margins. And yet, when I talked to you the other day, you said you support what the strategy of Donald Trump with these tariffs. Why?
For, well, basically my entire life, you know, those of us in the world of import-export, because we do both, we import and export, and also in the world of international business, you know, we've always kind of laughed that we see the unfair trade practices that other countries, you know, do with the United States, but nobody in the U.S. government would ever have the backbone to do anything about it. So we see how these countries take advantage of the U.S. We're charging them 3% to ship their products to the United States. But whenever we export our products to, if we can even export our products to their country, the you know, it's a completely different set of rules. Whenever Obama was president and we had a 3% duty on the goods coming from China, if I would export the same product to China, which I did under the Clinton administration, the duties were 15 times higher, 45%. 3% if they ship to the U.S., 45% if we ship to China. How is that fair?
It's not fair. And, you know, and Scott Bessent, I think he's done a really great job in trying to lay out what it is we're looking for as an agreement across the board, across all nations. And that is lower tariffs. Obviously, that's what we're talking about, right? That's why Donald Trump has kicked in these reciprocals. But in addition to that, what we don't really hear people talk about are these lower non-tariff barriers, like the VAT tax and all that, currency manipulation, the subsidies that China has, for example, just using China as an example, the subsidies that they give to their industries, which our industries, your industry doesn't have. And then you have the cheap labor effect. And when you take all of those things into consideration, if we're supposed to be this big global world and we're all kind of, you know, working together, we're all in this together, it doesn't really feel like we're all in this together when Americans' businesses such as yours are always getting the short end of the stick, right?
Right. And you didn't mention regulations in those barriers. A prime example is Europe. You know, Europe's a developed, you know, area of the world. And in the United States, you know, a lot of people are familiar with UL, Underwriters Laboratories. If you sell an electronics product or in our case, our silicon sealants have to be tested. You know, we test to UL standards so that we can put that UL approval on our products.
Right.
In Europe, they use CE. And you can see a lot of products that are over here with the CE or also, you know, in my realm of the world in chemicals, they have REACH, which is the, you know, a set of regulations that they have that you need to evaluate and test chemical products. And for one chemical product, you know, if you're a small manufacturer, it's at least $100,000 to certify one product to sell it into Europe.
Right.
So you can imagine how much sales we would have to in order to just pay back that $100,000 investment.
Absolutely. And so, again, you are not a talking head. You are a business owner. You are a job creator. In fact, you're the chairman of the Foundation of the Job Creators Network. I'm going to be seeing you pretty soon down there in Georgia at your second conference that you guys are doing in Savannah, Georgia. So you are all a part of job creators and those who create jobs, that you are not unscathed. And yet, do you approve of what Donald Trump is attempting to do, or do you not approve of it?
I absolutely approve.
Look at that.
We have to go, you know, he's using these tariffs as a hammer. You know, let's bring, you know, we need to put an incentive on other countries to bring them to the table to negotiate so that we have reciprocal fair trade between the U.S. and the rest of the world. There's going to be pain.
Yeah.
In the short term, while we're hitting these other countries over the head with these tariff hammers, you know, until they come to the table. And we're seeing that they're working already with 90 plus countries already coming to, to the Trump administration want to talk. And then I saw in the news today that China has reached out a number of times to come to the negotiating table.
Look at that.
And Trump's threatening tariffs, you know, right now we're at 145% on most products coming from China, and he's threatening to go up to 245%. They have a lot more to lose than we have to lose. The United States accounts for almost 40% of total consumption in the world. Everybody wants a piece of the pie of the U.S. market.
And we need to start using that leverage to benefit our people. You know, and I love how you said that Donald Trump, you know, like, this is a hammer. These tariffs are a hammer. Kevin O'Leary testified before Congress yesterday, and he said the only thing China understands is the stick. I wish we had foreign policy that amounted to please and thank you. But that's not the real world, is it?
No, it's not. The Chinese have a different culture than we do. You know, I've done extensive business, you know, back and forth with the Chinese. I used to export silicone products to China in the 1990s. And guess what happened after about 7 years of selling product to China?
They
stole it. Correct.
Yeah, because that's what they do.
They started counterfeiting my product.
Absolutely. Exactly. Like, that's what they do. And now you are the one in America. We hear this story time and time again. We provide the ingenuity, the creativity, the intelligence. We design these products. We send a mold of it over to China for them because, you know, China has become the manufacturing floor for the world. But it's not all in good faith. They take that product, and before long, they start selling knockoffs of that product. And now, and really, there's no remediation for you. There's no way for you to say to go into their court system and force them to stop. Whereas they can come into our country, and if someone in our country replicate or steal something off of them, they can come into our court system and force them to stop. But in China, it's just a different world.
It is, and we talk a lot about intellectual property, you know, intellectual property theft by China. That includes our labels and our logos. We do a lot of, we buy millions of aluminum tubes. We, you know, we'll formulate and mix our adhesives, and we put them into consumer ready aluminum tubes, you know, that you can buy at like a Walmart or a Lowe's and then squeeze the product out of the tube. So China and India are two of the world's largest producers of aluminum tubes. We learned our lesson years ago. We did business. We sent an order to an aluminum tube manufacturer in China. Mm-hmm. We had to send them a copy of our artwork electronically. The next thing we know is that our artwork is being spread throughout the country of China, counterfeited, and then throughout the world. You know, we actually made it easier for them to counterfeit our own product by providing a copy of our label, you know, with our logo on it to a Chinese manufacturer.
Right. Well, we're getting ready to go on, go to a break right now. But listen, let me just, Donald Trump has decided we are no longer going to be the punk of the world. We're no longer going to be a doormat for every other nation. And I appreciate you so much, Guy, coming on. You're not a talking head. You're not unscathed by this, and you still stand and say, what is the alternative?
The alternative is that we continue to ship America wealth overseas to other countries. And that's exactly what Donald Trump is against. You know, he is America first. I am America first. Let's take care of our own before we start taking care of the rest of the world.
Absolutely. We're going to end it there. Guy, thank you. I will see you in about 2 weeks. Guys, you are listening to the number one talk radio station, The Don Stensland Show. I'm your girl, Kathy Barnett. See you on the other side. Trouble, y'all.
I can't do
trouble no more. I'm done with it.
I said trouble. Won't do it no more.
I know. I can just play this right here. We have had our fair share over these past 4 years. Was like living through literal hell. By the grace of God, we made it. I don't even know how we made it. I do know how we made it. It's solely by the grace of God. Because there weren't a whole lot of Republicans standing up and doing a whole lot. It was conservatives who said, I mean, honestly, guys, conservatives saved America. Because everyone else was bending over backwards for those jabs. Everyone else was like, yeah, maybe a man can be a woman. But it was conservatives who kept saying, no, this is crazy. And we held out hope. We kept fighting. We refused to just lay down and just do as we're told. We refused to just shut up, sit down, and be quiet. We refused it. And as a result, we kept our country intact just long enough for Donald Trump to get in office. And Donald Trump has gotten in office. This does not mean we condone every single thing. But as of right now, I'm like yay and amen to a whole lot of stuff that he's doing. And specifically around these tariffs. Do I have my next guest on? Yes, Rich, my good friend Rich. How are you, sir?
Hi, Kathy. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, thank you so much. I see you well. It's so good to see you. Rich Lowry, in case you do not know who he is, we did a very exhaustive 1 hour walkthrough of these tariffs. You guys can go to my YouTube channel at Kathy, just put in Kathy Barnett, Kathy for Truth, Kathy Barnett. You can go out there and you can find the video of Rich and I walking through very meticulously what is going on with these tariffs from beginning to end. So get caught up there. But Rich is the president and chief investment officer at Park Edge Capital, and you were the economic advisor to the late Herman Cain. You were the one who came up with the 999 that Herman Cain would say so rememberably. And you were also my economic advisor, and now you're here. So I just looked up at the news, and I just saw that the U.S. and China are now in trade talks. Go figure. That actually happened. What do you say about that? Because everyone was saying that wasn't going to happen. China is standing up against a bully. America's being a bully. China's the good kid on the playground saying, you know, be nice. But now they're in talks.
Yeah, well, you know, assuming both sides are going to act in their own self-interest.
Yes.
It means that they're going to have to come together, you know, at some point. You know, China's not going to just sit back and take it any more than the U.S. is going to sit back and take it. And there are, you know, incentives on both sides, you know, to try to get some kind of deal done. So it doesn't surprise me. And I think as you, I caught some of the last segment, you know, you kind of have to play hardball with them to get them to the table.
Yes.
That looks like that's progressing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and I've said often, I wish, because I mean, I am a glass half full kind of person. I see the better parts of humanity. I see the sunny. I like it when it's sunshine outside. And I wish that our foreign policy around the world could be one comprised of please and thank you. We say please, they say thank you, and we all walk off into the sunset. But that's not the real world. That's the world some people will have us to believe within America, but that's not really the real world. And you and I were texting last night over the past couple of days, and I said to you that this moment that we're experiencing with China, two things. One, it feels bigger than just a tariff war, that it feels like there's a resetting of the global world order. But two, and I texted this to you last night, the more I read, the more I study about what Donald Trump has been doing since day one of the inauguration, everything seems to point towards him reigning in China. Whether we're talking about Greenland, it's about China. Whether we're talking about the Panama Canal, it's about China. Whether we're doing reciprocal tariffs around the entire globe, it was always about China. Talk to me about that.
I agree with that. You know, we've had this, unipolar world where the U.S. is dominant, that's transitioning to a multipolar world where China is going to have its, sphere of influence. The U.S. is going to have its own. But I think the days of, the whole world counting on the U.S. in all these different areas, are in a transition. And it reminds me of a book by Neil Howe called The Fourth Turning. Neil is a demographer, and he studied demographic cycles going back to the 1400s all over the world. And a turning is roughly one generation, 20, 25 years. And four turnings would cover the span of an average lifetime, actually 80 to 100 years.
Right.
The Revolutionary War was fourth turning. The Civil War was fourth turning. World War II was a fourth turning. And in his book in 1997, he said the next fourth turning for the U.S. is going to begin in 2008 and last until 2030.
So we're about 3 years away from the end of this fourth turning.
Well, right. The beginning was 2008. What happened in 2008? We bailed out the banks. We bailed out Wall Street. We implanted a lot of resentment in everyday people against the system. And that began the unraveling. And in fourth turnings, all of the institutions that came about in the prior first turning get reformed, they get abolished. So it's kind of interesting, if you just take that book separately from what's going on, it's saying that we would be going through this no matter what. This isn't unique to Donald Trump. We would be going through this anyway, because this is, we're in a fourth turning. The choices are that you get somebody to reform these institutions, or they're going to crumble under their own weight and, possibly lead to some kind of global conflict. So, Trump is basically doing what otherwise would be inevitable in trying to, rewrite, the global order. Now, just to provide context, for your audience, the trade deficit is one and the same as a capital surplus. Goods go in one direction, money goes in the other direction, and thanks to debt-free accounting, they are two sides of the exact same coin. Because the dollar is a reserve currency, is the reserve currency, which dates back to post-World War I in the 1920s, and since then, it's become, dominant in terms of trade and capital flows, foreign exchange transactions, global debt,
right?
You name it. What that means, the reserve currency status is nothing more than global central banks can hold dollars as reserves. So they each hold their own domestic currency, gold and U.S. dollars. So every central bank in the world needs dollars to run their monetary system. They have no natural way of getting it other than to sell us stuff. So even if tariffs, kind of level out the playing field, they bring barriers down, we get reciprocal treatment in other countries such that overall tariffs come down, every economy in the world is still going to have an incentive to run a trade surplus with the U.S. because that's how they get their hands on dollars.
Exactly.
To run their monetary system.
Right.
And it comes back to the U.S. Dollar denominated assets.
So everyone is incentivized to figure some things out. Hey, listen, we have a caller. Can you take a call?
Sure. Rich,
can you take a call? Okay, great. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hey, I thank you so much for taking my call. I'll just make it short and brief. I am a semi-retired Teamster, and I'm so glad we supported Donald Trump in this election cycle. So I'd like to say thank you, first of all, to our national president. And second of all, this reset has been 50 years overdue. The Democrats have given our jobs, our manufacturing away for so long, textiles, you name it. There's not one thing we can pick up in any store that says made in China. So I don't want to hear any crying from China or anybody else. Our nation is the greatest nation in the world. We need to start manufacturing to give our young people some jobs and some skills. Started out in high school with the trades again. And furthermore, they have been washing us when it comes. It's so pathetic, and I'll tell you what, I wish this younger generation would wake, excuse my French, the hell up.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for calling in. Paul, hey, Paul, I want to ask you, okay, Paul is gone, but I was going to ask, Rich, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, great. I was going to ask Paul, I think it was Paul who was just on, if because he said he's a Teamster and he voted for Donald Trump. Well, this is first time voting for Donald Trump. Paul, if you want to call back in just to answer that, I would love to hear if this is your first time calling or voting for a Republican. And it sounds like, I mean, if he's a Teamster, you know, the typical pattern is that they always vote Democrat. Rich, before I turn it over to you, let me take one more caller from Ben. Hey, Ben.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. So I'm from Troy, Michigan, and I have an HD radio that is so amazing that I can pick you guys up during the daytime also.
Yes, and I'm glad you're listening in. I see you said you love listening to my Saturday show. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yes, do you have a question or a comment, or you just wanted to let us know that you're in the house and you're listening?
I just wanted to let you know that I'm in the house and I'm listening.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate that. Okay, Paul, call back. You're a Teamster. This is your first time voting for Donald Trump or voting for a Republican. Rich, let me get your take on what Paul was saying about these manufacturing jobs.
Well, the only thing I would add to that, I mean, that is true. But what I would add to that is a lot of it is self-inflicted. So, yeah. You know, we have a tax code that embeds the burden of our tax code into the cost of a product that gets shipped overseas. Okay. And it will pay a value-added tax or some kind of sales tax in the country of destination. So our exports relative to world goods have double tax, which is an uneven playing field that's totally self-inflicted. And God forbid a company make money overseas by exporting. The U.S. wants to tax it when they try to bring it back to the U.S. And after it accumulates, companies are like, well, what are we going to do? Bring it back to the U.S. and get gouged with more taxes? Or do we just break ground and build a plant, you know, where the money is?
Yes.
And
hey, listen.
There's as much to do about hollowing out manufacturing in the middle class. It's self-inflicted.
Yes, it is. Paul, you're back. Is this your first time voting for a Republican?
No, absolutely not. And I can tell you one thing. A lot of union guys have been so sick of the Democrats backslapping us when they need our money from our unions. So a lot of union men, not just the Teamsters, are voting for Republicans, but we're keeping a close eye on them.
Yes,
the
exactly.
The only thing I can say about Donald Trump is I wish he would be more pro-Ukrainian. That doesn't mean to keep sending them billions, hundreds of billions of dollars, but let's just call this. Those people are getting slaughtered.
Yes,
so
they
I hope
are.
He
that
uses
has been
more
happening.
Diplomacy.
Yep, that's been happening
that's
for some time.
That's the only thing I'm upset about with
yes.
Mr. Trump. He's a great president. And I love your conversation today. Thank you so much, Paul.
I appreciate that. My producer is like, we got to go to a break. Got to go to a break. I do have someone on from Tom who is going to. Tom, if you can hold on, I have to go to break and then I'll be back. Rich, thank you so much for joining us. And guys, go out to YouTube. Rich and I did a whole hour conversation on this and it's got a lot of traction out there on YouTube. So go out there and see that. Rich is the president and chief investment officer at Park Edge Capital. Thank you so much, my friend, for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Kathy.
Yeah! Coming in hot. Here we go, guys. Thank you so much for listening. You're listening to the number one talk radio station here in Philadelphia, but also covering, you just heard, somebody from Michigan just called in right now. So this is a station that has a very large reach. And so I just want to welcome all of you in. I am Kathy Barnett sitting in for my double good girlfriend, Dawn Stensland, on the Dawn Stensland Show. And right now I have Tom on the line. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Kathy, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you for calling.
Good. I had your back in the election, and I used to pass your campaign headquarters on Philmont Ave.
Yes. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah. But listen, the previous caller, who was a Teamster, I'm a retired Teamster, and I tell you what, there was a boatload of Teamsters that voted for Trump.
Yes. Why?
It was common sense. You know, it was no right, left, or whatever. It was just that. That's what made sense to go.
You know what? I absolutely agree. And let me introduce my next guest, Mr. Joe Penland. Talk about common sense. I love hearing Mr. Joe Penland. He's a businessman turned political activist. You guys, if you were here in Pennsylvania, you probably attended that Tucker Carlson live tour. Joe was behind that, sponsoring that, making sure that Tucker got all across the nation. I think that was very pivotal in that in last year's election. But Mr. Joe Penland, you're on. You just heard Tom. Tom said that Teamsters voted. I mean, and in my mind, you think Teamsters, you think Democrat, right? But there's been a lot of Teamsters who are saying that they voted for Donald Trump just because it made sense. What do you say about that, sir?
Well, I would say they absolutely made the right choice. There's no two ways about it. You know, Teamsters are hardworking American people. They come early, they stay late, they love their family, and they love this country. Mm. So the choice was clear for any hardworking American person. We know we have to get handle back on our manufacturing, get this country back where it needs to be. And the start was to get the right man back in office. And I think the Teamsters, along with a lot of other people, but thank God for the Teamsters to come up and vote for Donald Trump. They made the right decision, and all America is going to benefit for it.
Yes. Anything else you wanted to say, Tom, before I let you go?
Nah, good luck. Happy Easter, and take care.
Yes, happy Easter, or as we say, happy Resurrection Day. Yay.
You got it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for holding on, Tom. I appreciate you. Yes, Mr. Penland, let me get back to you, because no one has talked more. I mean, like, you were talking about these manufacturing jobs in addition to the fact that we really do have a shortage of skilled labor in this country. And as I was kind of studying and reading through these tariffs, and one of the incentives of these in tariffs is to reshore manufacturing back to our country. But then on the other hand, you know, we do have a shortage of skilled labor. Which do you believe will be a bigger obstacle for us to overcome? Getting enough skilled workers into America, or getting companies to bring manufacturing back to America?
No, I think, you know, having to gear up with 8 or 9 million jobs right now available to America that we can't fill. So when you create another 10 or 15 million more jobs, that's going to be a problem. I think the president has already secured close to $7 trillion mm-hmm. of foreign investment that's going to come to this country over the next several years to build factories and manufacturing facilities and steel mills and so forth. So the money, I don't think, is going to be a problem. And I applaud the president for going the route that he's gone, because he's not taking America's money to do this. He's not taking taxpayers' money and subsidizing other companies to do it. He's bringing outside investment in here to create this work and these jobs. But at the same token, I think you're going to have to bring some outside labor too. I don't think you can do $7 trillion worth of additional work over the next 10 years in this country with the current labor situation what it is.
You know, and that's a conversation that a lot of Americans, myself, I'm sometimes on the fence. Of course, I agree with you 100% that we're going to have to bring in additional labor, but I'm trying to get a lot of people out of this country right now. and the thought of bringing in new people, you know, sometimes it's like, I don't know, maybe we want to just get some of the bad out of the country. Let's focus on America, getting the Americans who are available to work, get them trained and get them ready to go. What do you say about that?
Well, they're all good points. That there's no doubt you want the bad people to be gone. If you have a brand new neighborhood and you're trying to fill it up, it's got 500 homes and you got a couple of bad families in there, you just get them out. But that doesn't mean we can't bring the rest of them in. You need to always get rid of the bad apples. It doesn't matter whether they're Americans or citizens or they're foreign people. It doesn't make any difference. We don't have any need at all or any room in this country for bad people. So, but when you do need people to come to this country to work, like during the war, World War II, 1 year after the war started, we had to bring people in this country to work in the fields and the factories because we had moved a lot of our men and women off to war. So there's times that you have to do it. I'm not wanting to load our country up with a bunch of people, illegal people. We need to have immigration reform and do it the right way. If we do it the right way, it'll be a good thing for America. So that'll be a lot more taxpayers, a lot more people using our economy and so forth. But good people are number one. Bad people need to go to either jail or go to another country.
I agree. You know, and this is one of the things that I truly appreciate about you, Mr. Pendleton, is that you walk and chew gum at the same time. If you go on Twitter right now, now known as X, you know, there are a lot of linear thinking people, right? Get bad people out of our country, period. We don't want to bring anyone else in. But these are very complicated issues that we're contending with. And it's going to take something bigger than just linear thinking people, right? Just thinking in a straight line. We're going to have to learn how to walk and chew gum at the same time. Yes, I love the fact that for every $1 trillion of reinvestment that we bring into this country, it increases the GDP by 1%. That's over $330 billion right there. So $330 billion times seven, what are we looking at? $2.1 trillion in wealth that's coming to our country and that is spreading all across our nation, that is lifting the tide of, that's lifting the boats for all people, big boats, little boats, everyone's boat is being lifted.
Well, you're right. And, you know, there's no two ways about it. President Trump's got the right mindset on this. He's got a great plan. He had 4 years to get this plan together. I think that's probably one of the nightmares that the Democrats had. They had a man that sat around for 4 years with a lot of smart people around him and plotted out the course that this nation needs to take for the next 4 years and hopefully for 12 or 20 years. But we've got to have people to do the job. You know, you go to the local restaurant and you got a waiting list to get in. It's an hour. So if you got 500 people standing out waiting to get in a restaurant, is it good that we have 700 people standing out or do we have another restaurant built? If you got too many people wanting your product, you have to build more manufacturing or more base to do it with. The only way to do that is to bring the money in here, not use the taxpayers' money. Let's don't subsidize nothing. Let them pay their own way. But we're going to have to bring some workers because there's no two ways about it. America is, you know, we got a declining birth rate. We got a lot of problems here that has hindered us in expanding ourselves here. And so we have to do that. If you look at refineries, the way they're built today, they come in modular. They're made in other countries, and we stack them together like Lego blocks now because we do not have the labor. We need to solve that problem.
Yeah, and I love the fact that, it's really interesting to me because when Joe Biden was in office, our number one problem, if you listen to the Biden administration, was men competing with little girls or men having access to little girls' bathrooms or people being able to murder their own children via abortion. Like, these were the or that we should just allow, you know, anyone to come into the country. These were the issues that were, that's what I saw. That's all I heard, really. And then Donald Trump comes into office and all of a sudden we find out Greenland is a problem. All of a sudden we find out that China is basically in control of the Panama Canal. Then we find out about this Ukraine war and that a million people on both sides have died and that maybe we need to get out of this. It's like Donald Trump has come into office and all of a sudden we are now aware that, oh, we have some real problems. These people are about to eat our lunch if we don't wake up and get serious about running this nation.
Well, you know, the prior administration was good at having all kinds of diversions out there, so America was not paying attention to what was really going on. And I think with some of the things that you name right there, you know, was a diversion. You know, there's people dying all around the country, all around the world, and right here on the brink of World War III, and people were not really aware of that because there was too much other turmoil in the White House. And I think now, you know, the gloves, they're off. We've unmasked a lot of things. And America now just needs to pay attention. Hold on. The fever's going to break here before too long. Things will settle out. We'll go back to work in this country, and we'll get back on the right side of where we need to be.
And that's why I love having you on, because we need these voices of reason. Why, you know, we're getting ready to go to break right now, but let me just ask you, I'm going to give you the last minute here. Why is it, though, that there are other Americans who are traveling over to El Salvador trying to bring illegals back into this country and not trying to help? When I traveled with the Vivek Ramaswamy presidential campaign across the nation, I just saw despair has visited every community in our country. There is so much despair. There is so much what seems like hopelessness and run down roads and streets and businesses not even there. And yet we have politicians flying off to El Salvador to fight the good fight for an MS-13. What has happened with these people?
Well, they've lost their way. I mean, we need to concentrate on the American people first, and we have not been put first for a long, long time. And I think that's one of the things that President Trump has promised and he will do. America's going to be first, and that's going to be fresh for 340 million people. We do not need to go seek bad people to come into this country. We need to do away with all the bad that we can. You can never eliminate it all, but we need to make that move. We need to have a hard line on crime in this country with the streets we need to take back for the residents. We do not need to hide and shelter in place because bad people are outside your door. Get America back and give it back to the people that deserve it.
I absolutely love it. Thank you so much, Mr. Joe Penland, bringing that wisdom. Thanks so much, sir.
Have a great holiday.
Yes. Happy Resurrection Day to you too, sir.
Same to you. Thank you.
Yes. Here we go, guys. I'll see y'all on the other side. But here's that call-in number, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I'm going to bring you the temperature down a little bit, and we're just going to have a conversation when I come back in this 11 o'clock hour, because I wanted to talk about tariffs, kind of get that out of the way. But now let's talk about what's really going on in our country. Here's that number, 855-839-1210.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.